It is time for another edition of the At Your Service podcast, part of the Branson Podcast Network. I'm Scott McCauley, and we're very glad to have you with us today. You know, it's kind of been interesting because, as you know, we're going to do our conservation report here in just a couple of moments. But, you know, on that particular show, we do the conservation report, and we record it on Friday. And last Friday, we had we actually did it a little bit differently because the weather was very interesting in the morning, and we eventually got a hold of Dan Aiken, but we actually had to do that show actually live on the radio on Ozarks Now, and then kind of morphed it into the podcast later. We're back to the traditional style of doing this podcast today. However, it's been another wild weather day, and even overnight, as we've had the variety from thunderstorms to snow, and it's been everything in between. So certainly that's going to be one topic of conversation on the program, but we also got a lot of conservation news to catch you up on our weekly visit with the Missouri Department of Conservation on this conservation report. Delivering this week's report, we're going to Berry County and visit with the agent Dan Vanderhoff. Dan, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you, Scott?
I'm doing good now, being nice and ensconced here in our Grand Country studio to record this show. I know you've had to be out and about a little bit today. I had to go out and about on a quick errand this morning to one of our sites, and was able to really get in and out before the weather really got drastically cold. But as we're recording this on the 12th, as I mentioned, we had a variety of weather, and let's kind of start there. I know you in Berry County, if I didn't mention that, Dan is one of the Berry County agents for the Missouri Department of Conservation, saw that all these strong storms moved through the whole region. How did everything okay in Berry County after the thunderstorms that came through?
Yeah, as far as I know, here at my house, of course, came through late, about bedtime or a little after, and the hail, when the wind picked up, and then we had rain, and then we had a little bit of hail. Well, a lot of hail, but it was pretty much all small.
Yeah.
But it almost looked like the ground was covered with a little bit of snow, but it was just the accumulation of hail. So we did have quite a bit of that. Lots of lightning, you know. I guess I may not have been paying attention to the storm threat as I was paying more attention to how much snow or ice or whatever we were going to get, but it kind of surprised me a little bit whenever the thunderstorms rolled through.
Yeah, you know, it's funny about that because we had on Ozarks Now, on the our previous Ozarks Now program, the radio show on the 11th, we had talked with the National Weather Service and kind of led off a little bit with the storms and said, yeah, no one's really talking about that. And I think they expected most of the heavier storms to be south, which they were. I think there were even some tornado sightings around Little Rock. But yeah, we had it woke me up, and I was able to, we had, luckily the station was covered with our weatherology folks, and our meteorologists were taking care of the weather coverage, but I looked at the radar and saw we were in the right of the heart of it, and it definitely blew some things around. And then that temperature drop we've experienced in the morning, as I said, has really made driving a little bit hazardous. Luckily, there's not a lot of snow to deal with, and we're not going to get much more, at least on this round, though we may have a little bit more snow at the first of the week, according to what the forecast seems to indicate. But as far as winter is concerned, we definitely are in the winter weather mode right now, aren't we?
Yes, for sure. It definitely got cool. Of course, last night, there was just on the south side of Cassville here, there was some storm damage, power lines down here and there. I'm assuming that some trees got into the lines of some sort. But there was a few folks without power for a little while last night, but they're back up and running now. I'm glad they are before it got real cold.
Yeah.
And then, this morning when I left, it was still above freezing. And, of course, there, 8 o'clock-ish, maybe a little after, the ground temperature started getting cool enough to see some freezing on the ground. So, we definitely had a very active weather scenario here in the last 12 hours or so.
Well, and what's made this very, I guess, not a coincidence in a good way, is the coldest weather of the year is happening to coincide with the final few days of one of the Conservation Department's longest seasons of the year.
Yes, it is. Our deer seasons, of course, archery season is about to wrap up. The 15th is the last day. It's pretty dang cold weekend to be sitting out in the woods in a tree stand. If you do, hopefully maybe you got a a ground blind or an enclosed blind with a heater in there if you get out and about. Yes, our deer seasons are about to wrap up, and I was kind of flipping through some numbers earlier. Last year's total deer season numbers was just under 300,000. It was 299,700 and something. And this year, we've had some pretty good weather. You know, up until now, it's been pretty enjoyable. The better weather we have, the longer folks stay in the woods. You know, so if it's really cold like this weekend, people don't spend as much time out. Or, you know, if it's really raining, people don't spend as much time out. But this year, we've had pretty good overall weather for the deer season. And right now, our numbers are sitting at 325,038. So we're about 25,000 above last year's numbers already. And, of course, just has a few days left of our archery season. So this year's numbers is looking to be up quite a bit from last year's numbers.
Yeah, and that trend has seemed to be going on, and I agree with you. The weather, for the most part, overall, the weather being good for the deer seasons this year, all of them, not only archery, but all the firearms seasons that have happened. So with deer season now coming to a close over the next few days, is there anything else season-wise going on right now?
There sure is. Let's see, I'm kind of on our small game side of things. Crow season is still open. It's open through March 3rd. Rabbit and squirrel season is open through February 15th. And then we got our trapping seasons. Badger, gray fox, and red fox is open through January 31st. Bobcat, coyote, mink, muskrat, and river otter is open through February 29th. Possum, raccoon, and striped skunk through February 29th. Beaver and nutria through March 31st. Of course, we've got a lot of beaver here. Nutria is more of a swampy area, so the Boot Hill area, they've got some nutria over there.
Right.
We've got quite a few of our small game seasons going on. Of course, coyote season hunting is almost year-round. It's closed the beginning of April through the opening of turkey season. Other than that, coyote hunting season is open, so there's lots of opportunity out there. Although deer season's about over, we still have some small game stuff going on.
You know, we were talking a little bit about some of the fishing conditions, and the reports that we have been getting from everyone recently has indicated that that fishing, since we've got into the winter pattern, has been pretty good on. And I know you focus a lot more on the streams over there, but I know you've got Table Rock Lake sitting over there as well. But what have you been hearing as far as the trends? And I know this weekend may be, you know, a little bit of an aberration because it's not going to be really good to be out anywhere fishing this weekend. But overall, is our pattern kind of settling in to where people can find fish if they want to?
Yeah, it has. You know, the bass kind of are on their winter pattern finally after, you know, again, but kind of back to the nice weather. When that water temperature keeps dropping and dropping, they get into their winter pattern. And yes, the bass are on their winter pattern. They're kind of on the edge of the main channels into the, you know, the main river channels on the lakeside. So they're schooled up. Crappie, which, you know, fishing 15, 20 feet deep on structure, they're there. Folks catching them on boat docks, you know, underneath the docks. So crappie's pretty good. Seen a few bluegill up in the shallow areas, but then now with this colder weather, they may move back out. Seems like on those sunny days, they like to kind of get up in that shallower water where it may be warming up a little bit. Of course, with this weather, they're going to probably stay out a little bit deeper. So, yeah, fish are active. Of course, the folks that can fish quite often are catching a good, decent numbers of fish. Those of us that have to work a lot more that don't get to fish often may find them schooled up, you know, around shad. Drop shotting for bass, walleye. So, okay, so it's kind of getting the beginning of walleye season here. I say season. We don't have a season on them, but the time whenever they're starting to work up the rivers, they're one of our first fish to kind of go up the river and start their spawn. So that's coming around the corner here real quick. But, you know, checking a few folks that have some nice walleye. So, you know, they're out there too. It's a good time to get out there once this weather breaks a little bit and find those winter patterns on those fish.
You know, before we wrap up, there's one other thing that we can look at through all this. I'm just going to say this statement, Dan, and then you'll fill in the blanks. I know we're only about 6 weeks away.
Yes, we are. opening season of the catch and keep trout season across the state. Of course, over here we have Roaring River State Park, the number one visited park the last few years. March 1st or October 31st is our regular open catch and keep season. The river is stocked every night in preparation for the fishermen for the next day. Opening season, of course, weather dependent, but it's always a big attraction to, you know, the opening day, which is on a Friday this year. So I have a feeling that a lot of folks will come down and, you know, maybe spend Friday and Saturday and Sunday at the park. Sometimes when it's in the middle of the week, that opening day is busy, the next few is not as busy. And then the weekend's busy again. But I have a feeling it's going to be a busy weekend, weather dependent, of course. it's a great place to be. Lots of camping areas, hiking trails, activities through the nature center there. It's really a great place to be.
You know, and the other thing, and we talked, in fact, we've kind of made it an annual tradition on Ozarks now. We try to visit about a week or two away from the season with the folks with the Cassville Chamber of Commerce and we've certainly got the big picture over the last few years and knowing some folks, you know, from the Cassville area as well, that this is a day that is so important to a lot of people over there because there are a lot of visitors. There are a lot of people eating in the restaurants. Of course, Roaring River's got a lot of businesses around there themselves. So there is a lot of, and not just for Roaring River, but the other state parks as well experience the same growth. This is one of the biggest tourism days in the state of Missouri. And I've even heard that from the Division of Tourism itself. They've told me that several times, that this is one of the days they mark on the calendar as one of the best visiting days in Missouri as far as numbers are concerned.
Yes, it is. It's a huge draw. You know, yes, opening day, opening weekend is a big draw, but just year-round to have Roaring River, of course, you know, Taney Como over there on your side too, it's a big draw for fishermen. You know, Cassville, our small community over here, having that big of a draw, it definitely boosts our economy over here with, of course, lodging, with our hotel here, and then lots of cabins and rental spots between here in Roaring River and around Roaring River. The restaurants definitely benefit. Of course, the stores, the gas stations, the grocery stores and everything else benefit from that also. But yes, it's great to have such a busy spot close to Cassville for us for tourism and revenue for sure.
So before we wrap up, and of course Dan will give you all the contact information for the Missouri Department of Conservation. I mentioned last week we kind of had to do the report differently because the weather was so crazy, and Dan Aiken was on last week, and we had to call in, and we actually did the show live. I'm not even sure, now that I think about it, that we even got that podcast on the network. So Josh Grisham is our coordinator, so I'll make sure to have that podcast posted as the same time we post this podcast. Now, the reason that's important is because on last week's podcast, Dan Aiken was detailing to me a fishing outing that he, as well as you, Dan Vanderhoff, had taken. And Mr. Aiken seemed to think that, that was one of the times that I actually had the better fishing. But you sent me a text of a picture of a fish that seems to dispute that a little bit. So are you telling me that you were the one that caught the bigger fish?
Well, there's no doubt who caught the bigger fish on that trip.
Uh-huh.
And You know, Aiken may try to say he caught more fish, but I wasn't counting my fish. He was counting his fish. And I don't know about him catching more fish. He thinks he took me to school that day on teaching me how to fish. But the pictures, the proofs in the pictures, and the tape measure in the pictures are who caught bigger fish.
Yeah,
that's 100% proof right there of who caught the bigger fish.
All right. Well, then, you know, and here's the problem. You know, when Kirby Bridges was still with the Conservation Department, she would always come in and say, you know, he's not even the best conservation fisher angler in Stone County. You know, she would always lay claim to that. And now, of course, now, you know, she's gone on to a different department, so she's not there anymore. But, you know, so Dan, and they're, you know, until they get another agent there, I guess Dan is the best conservation agent angler in Stone County. Of course, that's also because he's the only one. All right, so we got that out and everything taken care of now. So, but we do know that. So we do know our conservation department agents do know a little bit about fishing. They also know a little bit about what's going on the outdoors, and they're always great resources. But Dan, there's even a better resource if people need to find out information what's going on with the Missouri Department of Conservation.
Yeah, there is. We've got a great website, lots and lots and lots of information. Whether you're looking for a fishing report or want to identify a critter of some type, whether it be, you know, a mammal or an insect, lots of information out there on our website. Go to mdc.mo.gov. It's a great resource to use. Also, if you need to contact your local conservation agent, if you have their local number in your phone, you can find that information there on our website or our local offices. Whether you need to talk to a local fisheries biologist or private land services or forester, all of that information is on our website. Of course, on the agent side of it, if you don't have the conservation agent's number and you see a violation in progress, you can always call our Operation Game Thief number, 1-800-392-1111. Try to gather as much information as you can. That way it's better for us to follow up with. If it happened in a vehicle, the vehicle color, the model, make, license plate number is great. How many people are in that vehicle? The more information you can give us, the better we can follow up with it. But don't hesitate to give us a call or call that conservation Operation Game Thief number also to report any activity that you've seen that may not be lawful.
All right. Well, Dan, it's always great to catch up with you and visit and also find out what's really going on in the fishing trips that you and Dan Aiken are taking. I'm glad I got the true story finally, so appreciate that. And we will – I haven't got the new rotation yet, but I assume we'll probably have a visit at some point before our trout season opens at Roaring River. Looking forward to that. I know that'll be kind of something we aim for, so we'll look forward to a visit at that time. Dan, take care of yourself. Be careful out there. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
You bet. Bye-bye. That's Dan Vanderhoff, one of the Barry County agents from the Missouri Department of Conservation, delivering this week's Conservation Report. Branson Podcast Network is our location. Conservation Report, one of the series of At Your Service podcasts. We did have to postpone our Stone County Community Health Coalition podcast, which we were going to record and have posted by now. We hope to get that one in here in the next week or so, but we will have a Conservation Report podcast coming up next week right here on the At Your Service podcast. I'm Scott McCauley. Hey, check out all the other shows we got on the Branson Podcast Network.